Today we'd like to see the title of He Must Rise Again from the Dead in John chapter 20, verses 1 to 31. To the souls on the online world, through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 1, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. What does it mean in the context and what can you learn from here? Question 2, in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." What does it mean, and what can you learn from here? Last question in verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they were forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time, in John chapter 19, verse 41-42, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus. Because of the Jews' preparation day for the tomb was nearby. The place where he was crucified was Golgotha. There was a garden. In the garden, a new tomb was there, called as today the Garden Tomb, adjacent to Golgotha. On the Passover day, or the Jews' preparation day for the Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began the Friday evening at sunset, Jesus was dead. Number one, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and so the dead stone had been taken away from the tomb. The first day of the week was a Sunday, early still dark near to sunrise. Mary of Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast 7 demons, was able to live a free life from the demons' possessed life. She went to the tomb with the other Mary name, She went to the tomb with other Mary named ladies, like previously the eyewitnesses to Jesus on the cross. In reading the various Gospels, it seemed concerning the resurrection day, Mary Magdalene saw the empty tomb. Number 2, she told Peter and John about it. Number 3, John and Peter saw the empty tomb and left. Number 4, Mary Magdalene met Jesus, as well as shortly other ladies met Jesus. Number 5, the ladies worshipped Jesus. Number 6, Jesus met 2 disciples toward Emmaus. Number 7, Jesus appeared to disciples in the evening, and so on. Mark, that is cross-reference right there. That's question 1. Question now, number 2, verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." John the author described himself the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Every Christian may convict himself or herself very special to Jesus because each Christian's soul is much more valuable than the whole world. Also, we all special people. Verse 3, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. Verse 4, so they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Verses 5 to 7, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. The linen clothes were lying around Jesus' body, and the handkerchief around his head was folded by itself. A grave robber wouldn't do so in order supporting Jesus' bodily resurrection. Verse 8, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed it, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The other disciple, John, saw it, believed Jesus' resurrection. Verse 9, question 1. Until then, Peter and John did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Until then, they were slow of heart to believe his resurrection. The scripture says, number 1, Jesus' death bore every sin. Number 2, Jesus' resurrection not leave his soul in shell or haze in corruption. Through mentioning some of David and Peter's sermon on the Pentecost, Jesus teaching A, to go to Jerusalem for his death and raising up the third day, B, to destroy this temple and in third day and to raise it up, for the temple as his body during cleaning temple. cleaning the merchandising temple. See, the sign of the prophet Jonah as the son of man to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Then number 3, Jesus' body resurrection is the key to the principles of doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, or to become a born-again creature, because the gospel of Christ is his death for our sin, and his rise again the third day according to scripture. And number 2, without his resurrection, or without his victory over the death power held by Satan, every Christian would be still in its sin. So his bodily resurrection, not symbolic resurrection, is the key for the gospel of Christ along with his death for our sin. So this one all cross reference right there. So 10 to 13, let's just see. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, and at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" So she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." The disciples went on, but Mary of Magdalene wept and looked into the tomb, seeing two angels who asked her why she was weeping. She answered, "They took away her Lord." Even though he had been dead for 3 days, as far as Mary was concerned, he was still her Lord because she was forgiven much, like a sinner's anointing oil to Jesus' feet, and so she loved him much. Jesus cast away the seven demons from her, who, in response and in gratitude, committed her life to him. Fully, joyfully, in tremendous love, and although he had been crucified, she stood there, and yet he's still her Lord. So that kind of we should learn. That is very important, whatever circumstances. So now 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, did not know that it was Jesus. Her tears were blurring her visions in early morning, that she did not recognize Jesus who was standing there. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." 16:17, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do you not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." When Jesus called her Mary, she recognized him as Jesus the teacher. So Mary was blessed to become the first eyewitness of his resurrection. However, Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell disciples that I am risen." Jesus did not want to delay at the tomb because during 40 days before Jesus' ascension, he had to present himself many infallible proofs and to teach it the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The cross reference right here. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Mary Magdalene first was commissioned to share the glorious gospel of the resurrection by Jesus. Shortly, Jesus met other ladies and they worshipped him. Verse 19, question 2. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, and fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." In the evening, Jesus appeared in a room of which its door was shut, where disciples were assembled in the fear of the Jews. So Jesus resurrected the body was unique, different from Lazarus' flesh and blood when he came back to his life. Also, Jesus' resurrected body was not subject to die again, but to live forever, not subject to the law of nature. He was not mere ghost or an unclothed spirit, but he had flesh and bones with his wounded hands and feet. Also, he was able to be touched and to eat a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb. So that's a cross reference right there. 20. When he had said this, He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus said, "Peace to you." Peace can come only from the ruling the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is agape love, of which one attribute is peace. So Jesus said, "Recover, receive the Holy Spirit," in verse 22. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When Jesus had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It's finished." And then he gave up his Spirit. His mission coming from the Father was finished, completed. No anything else needed other than the Scripture which testifies of Jesus. All glory was given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Then his disciples were commissioned to make disciples with baptism and teach them to observe all things. A disciple is not above his teacher, Jesus, but everyone may become mature like his teacher, Jesus' image. So the disciples or any followers of Jesus have the privilege to share the words of God in gospel or in scripture with others coming from God, only within the scope of his authority. However, any ministry outside of his authority is not allowed. For example, a preacher of any other gospel is accursed. So that one is basically talking about that. So also receives the Holy Spirit. So then 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus told his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, dwelled with each of them. And later, on the Pentecost, every believer in whom the Holy Spirit would dwell forever. It reminds us to minister, work, or live for God. We all Christians need to be led, controlled, or ruled by the Spirit, not by our own flesh works or our own, efforts. That cross reference right there. 23. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, here, 23, question 3. "Sin is against God according to God's word. And thus only God can forgive sin." That means the disciples did not have authority to forgive sin, but Jesus gave them the ability to declare to others what God's word has to say. For example, to those who repent their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the disciples may declare, "As your sins are forgiven," within the authority of Jesus, to whom God the Father has given all authority in heaven and earth, practically to Scripture. So I or any Christian can say to others according to Scripture, "Either your sin forgiven or your sin not forgiven." That's the basis for the biblical counseling, unlike other human counsels. 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." 25. "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Thomas had a twin brother or sister, we really don't know. He confessed his unbelief until he saw the print of the nails and touched it. Previously, on the way of dead Lazarus home, Thomas, one of his 12 disciples, did not hesitate to follow Jesus at the risk of death. But here, he was reluctant to believe his resurrection. Later, after Jesus' ascension, he prayed with other disciples in the upper room at Jerusalem. His doubt led to a question. The question led to an answer through searching. Here, Jesus' appearance to him, or the scriptures to us, and the answer was accepted in heart or believed. The doubt without searching leads to stubbornness, which hinders your belief. Unbelief makes you a miserable life, not joyful life, by faith. The longer time unbelief life you live, the longer miserable life you live. Further, the things of sin worlds were made by the words of God, the invisible thing. So even visible things made by invisible things, which those who do not live, unless those see even the invisible things. So those are much less blessed than those who have not seen and yet have believed. So that 28. And Thomas answered, said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas acknowledged Jesus as the Lord and God. Jesus is the perfect man as well as the perfect God, the creator of the world, the brightness of his glory, his Son, and all nature of God. That is one of Trinity God. Whoever denies Jesus' deity is against the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The verse 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. On the Gospel of John, John wrote only seven signs among many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which even the world itself could not contain. All on the Gospel of John is what we need for the purpose of the belief of Jesus is the Christ, ordained by God the Father as the Son of God for everlasting life in Jesus' name. Unbelief is often based upon prejudice, relying upon other biased opinion about Jesus or Scripture, not upon personally, thoughtfully searching the Scripture and its relevancy. Like a pilot, everyone is exhorted to read the Gospel of John to transform yourself into the image of Christ, God's word with loud written voice. Not even if you are a minister to deliver the word of God to others, you are not only to deliver it to others, but also should transform your life with it as the witness of Christ. That's all cross-reference right there. So you may read, you know, all other stuff, you know, EU, the mission, you know, also deliver the words of God, you know, all kinds of stuff over there. So may God bless you.